Back when.
What's ho, podcast land, and welcome to yet another absolutely amazing episode of Who Back When, a Doctor Who podcast.
Or Doc Future. Doc Predicted.
Wouldn't you know it, we're still alive. That's right, podcast land. Yeah. We're
also
still here.
Marie is as well. She's just not calling in for this one. And Jim.
And Jim, exactly.
Hey, no one who's ever been on the podcast has died, touch wood. Does that mean it
makes
us
immortal?
Oh, why
did you have to go and say that, dude?
That won't jinx it, surely.
Well, if it happens now, it's your fault.
Okay,
it's entirely on you.
Yeah, if any of us ever die, that's my fault. What are we doing here?
Podcast land, you are listening to two of us this evening. I'm Leon. Hi. And I am sitting across a table from my esteemed co-host,
Dr. Death, otherwise known as Drew Back When.
Hello, Drew.
Hello, podcast land.
Holy smokes. Long time no see, podcast land. I'm incredibly grateful that you're still there.
Downloads pending.
Well, this evening, we're treating you to a little surprise bonus episode. There have been two trailers for what is potentially known as Season 1.
Yep.
Or Series 14.
If you are of a traditional persuasion.
That's right. At the time of recording, it is April 6th, 2024. We are a month and
5 days.
Yeah, away from said season or series airing. And we're going to share some thoughts on the trailer. With each other and with you.
Mm.
I'm keen to hear what you think about this, dude.
Okay.
Because allegedly, rumor has it, word on the streets, is you have some theories.
Oh, well, yeah, of course we've got theories, and we'll work them up.
Yeah, we've got tons of theories. Okay, we're absolutely going to hash it out. We're going to talk about that, we're going to share our predictions, and, there'll be some bans. It's the usual thing, really. Right.
Yeah, and I'll see if I can work up a shooty Gatwa impression, and we'll see if that gets cut.
Wow.
Basically, we're now moving into the trailer territory, and the first thing the Doctor says, and I think both trailers, once he has flown dutifully to Stark Tower, as all of these trailers must begin, by showing how Disneyfied it is and how Avenger adjacent it is, he steps out, and with the utmost confidence, having done absolutely nothing to merit any kind of applause yet, because the performance is all ahead of him, he's like, "Gimme the lovin'!"
I know what you're going to say, because Podcast Land, we just watched both trailers back to back together.
I think everyone knows what I'm going to say.
And what are you going to say?
I feel like it's misplaced overconfidence. Like, it doesn't jive with me.
Okay. I've got two questions for you. Question number one. Sorry, Podcast Land, we have been pre-drinking and I am a little tipsy. Question number one.
Yes.
Whom do you think he says that to? And question
everybody.
Number two. Oh, really?
Everybody who is within earshot, and that will turn out to be Kegels and Shirley Ann Bingham and...
I think it's Rose.
Commander Twonk. Rose is also there, definitely. I think in one of the trailers, he's lifting her up.
Yeah.
And she's an absolute picture of ecstasy on her face.
I mean, that is why I think it is Rose. I'm assuming Kegels is there, and what's her name? Mel B is going to be there as well.
Yeah. But Rose will be set apart as super special.
Absolutely.
That's not even a long shot, and so he'll provide all the affection to her, and she'll be set up as, is this the UNIT spin-off we're already talking about?
Oh,
we're 3 seconds in.
We're getting into that. I've got a question for you about exactly that, but put a pin in it.
Sorry, go on.
I have another question for you.
Yeah, which question is, two, it's been long teased.
Which is much more high level. Having just watched these two trailers for the, let's call it, second time, having just watched these two trailers, how do you feel about season 1/series 14? Are you excited? Are you dismayed? Are you disappointed? Are you hopeful? What's going on?
There's a little of all those elements, I think.
Oh, really?
I am looking forward to some universe imperiling shizzle going down.
Mm-hmm.
Because, that seems to be on that cosmic scale.
Yeah.
On the other hand, space babies? I feel like Space Babies, which is the title of episode one, is some...
Is it?
Yes.
Oh, see, I don't know about the titles yet.
Yeah, we'll get to the titles.
We'll get to the titles, okay.
I feel like Space Babies is something you wake up from being half asleep and you write it down, and then you're asked to come in and pitch to the Disney execs, and you're like, well, this whiteboard says space babies. And from there, like, it should be worked up and refined and rewritten 5 or 6 times, but somehow this little soporific burble has made it onto Wikipedia as the title of the first episode.
Sure.
And yeah, that does not fill me with confidence.
I'm not overly enthused about Space Babies. I didn't know that was the title of the episode. I'd like to hope that they're not going to be the protagonists of that episode. Maybe they're the MacGuffin of it. The whole thing circles around a massive space perambulator. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. I believe that that monster that they keep encountering, just a creature they haven't met yet, is also part of that episode. So I presume they will be trying to safeguard said babies from said monster.
Wait, did you say you know that's the case, or are you hoping that's the case?
I'm pretty certain that's the case, because if you remember, there was actually a third preview at the end of Church on Ruby Road.
Yeah. Yeah, and yeah. Wasn't that the same as the first one that we watched? Oh, that's a different one.
I think that's a different one. And also, you know what? I'm also adding, RTD is... Just keep some of it in your pants, RTD. On Doctor Who Unleashed, like, at the end of that, there was some footage of, like, the... Was it the upcoming season or the first episode? I get the feeling it's going to be the first episode, and they're creeping around in a creepy space corridor, and that is very much like the monster footage we saw. And so I think that monster's coming after those babies.
Okay. I don't know how I feel about that, but fine. Okay. Can I say two things?
Yes,
one
I think
being
you should.
The answer to that same question.
Yes. As is your right.
Super excited about the season.
Good.
I'm super excited. These trailers, the second trailer in particular, have absolutely done the job for me.
And that's not just the Negroni buzz podcast land.
No, this is like baseline Negroni buzz is talking. That is, I feel like this could be a very exciting season. Mm-hmm. There are a few things in the trailer or trailers that fill me with mild trepidation, and we'll get into it, I think.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But overall, it looks incredibly entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
Like, truly great. It looks like it's going to be truly great television.
Yeah. Also, I think it's safe to say that not everything from these trailers is going to be in the shows, because if you noticed... Ruby
some
Sunday.
Of it was from, exactly, some of it was from Ruby Sunday.
No, I'm saying Ruby Sunday has two different lines that mention Bridgerton. There is no way she's mentioning Bridgerton twice in the episode. She's like, oh, that's so Bridgerton, and then there's a different one.
Oh, holy Bridgerton.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you don't think so? I would milk that. I'm not going to finish the sentence.
That's a Netflix property. Disney Plus aren't allowing that.
Oh, it is. Oh, well, if there are any copyright lawyers in the audience, write in with your considerations. Okay, that's an interesting point. I hadn't thought about that. I reckon... I'm happy to make this interesting, by the way.
Please.
I reckon both lines are going to be in the episode.
Okay, and when you say make this interesting...
Like, would you want to put money on it? I reckon there will be at least even a third...
Oh, okay.
Line.
Well, if you're going to stick your neck out that far, I will bet you a whole pound.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Fine. Yeah.
Right.
Fine.
Good.
Fine. Pound.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
3 Ruby Sunday Bridgerton mentions. Actually, no, you know, I'm going to be generous. 3 characters of any stripe can mention Bridgerton.
Yeah.
Oh,
done.
Oh, no, that leaves me open to,
now,
oh, holy Bridgerton. And the doctor goes, what's Bridgerton? And she's like, you haven't seen Bridgerton. And the doctor's like, I just told you I haven't seen Bridgerton. And that's already 4.
I reckon it doesn't have to be the word Bridgerton. I reckon there will be more than 2 references to the show itself.
Okay, you said you were going to make this interesting. How about we do that from now on?
How dare you, son of a bitch. Okay, well, I'm almost tempted to not mention the second thing I was going to say.
No, do it.
It was simply to say I'm super happy to be sitting in front of a microphone with you again. Because it's been ages, dude.
I'm so sorry. I shat all over that feeling.
That's fine, you asshole. All right. Right, so where are we starting? We've got tons bombing at our eyeballs in these teaser trailers.
Yep.
Is there any particular thing that you want to pick out right away?
I want to pick out who I believe to be the Rani.
Right. Okay. Okay. I think I know who you mean.
I mean, I don't know whether just the absolute sheer campness, and mostly I'm thinking back to Dimensions in Time. Honestly.
You're thinking of Jinx Monsoon's character. I don't know what the character is called. I don't know if we even know a name, if it's official yet.
I think that Jinx Monsoon is going to be in episode 2, The Devil's Chord, because there's all sorts of musical notes.
I think you're right about that.
Flying around.
I think you're totally right about that. I don't think Jinx is playing the Rani.
Right.
I'll tell you why.
Please, please.
There is also a clip in, I don't know if this is season, trailer 1 or trailer 2, I can't remember. They're all, we just watched them back to back. They're the same thing to me. But there's a clip of Ruby Sunday also enveloped in those musical notes.
Yes.
So we get to see both Jinx Monsoon and Ruby in those notes.
Okay.
My sense is Jinx Monsoon is a baddie, but actually it's those musical notes that are the intelligence. Like, it's almost as though it's a parasite. You know, Invasion of the Body Snatchers, but it's Invasion of the musical notes.
Yes, and it may or may not be trying to piggyback on the Beatles' hitherto unseen worldwide success to take over the planet Earth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have more theories about the Beatles aspect. Mm. Do you also think that this is going to be the Beatles episode?
1,000%.
Of course.
They were kept out of the trailers, but their absence speaks volumes.
There will be a Beatles episode in this season.
Yeah.
There can't be two musical episodes, right?
Oh, I don't know. That jukebox might do some heavy lifting.
If that's the case, I'm going to be dismayed.
Might be a whole musical season.
I mean, don't want that.
That might be
I don't want that.
RTD is probably like, you know what? The thing about these musical episodes is they weren't ambitious enough. Like, they didn't screw with the show's DNA sufficiently.
I'm not on board for that. I'm not on board for that at all.
No, I don't. Neither am I.
I love the one musical episode in the season, and I'm very happy for that episode to be the Beatles episode with Jinx Monsoon and whoever, like, whatever else is going on. But I don't want the fucking show to turn into a musical. Did you ever watch? Okay. When I was a kid, I used to watch a cartoon called Hammerman.
I have never heard of or seen Hammerman.
This was a superhero based on MC Hammer.
Oh, no, I have heard of Hammerman, but I haven't seen Hammerman.
MC Hammer's Hammerman would fight crime or baddies or whatever, vibes, by doing the hammer dance. And when he did the dance, musical notes would extend out like tentacles and like ensnare baddies and trip baddies. You know, I mean, it's meant for kids. So obviously it's not like, oh, it's going in there and gouging out eyeballs. And then like it's nothing like that. It's all very above board. But it looked almost exactly like the shit we just saw in this episode. When the clip of Ruby with the, you know, the musical notes.
Yeah.
I got instant Hammerman vibes.
Okay, so I'm going to use this to segue to the thing I've prepared for you.
Oh.
Hammerman, as said by Wikipedia, aired for 13 episodes on ABC in the fall of 1991. Mm-hmm. You may have got that a year later in Sweden, whatever.
I got it on TCC, the children's channel.
Oh, brilliant. So, this is an early 90s reference.
Yeah.
I would like you, well...
Shall I open the tab that you have prepared for me?
I prepared a tab for you. Have you heard of the Depeche Mode song, Personal Jesus?
Of course. I love Depeche Mode.
Okay, start playing it. You know the song, but start playing the song and listen to it for a few seconds and tell me what strikes you.
Is this what you've prepared for me?
Yes.
Oh, you've prepared literally Personal Jesus. Amazing.
Yeah, I put it at 2 minutes 10. Wait the next few seconds.
Okay, here we go.
Yep, that's...
It's the breath.
Yep.
Is that what it is?
It's absolutely the breath that they put into the theme tune. 100% the same.
No.
Pretty much. I'm not saying they've lifted it from this track, but how could it not be... And why I'm mentioning this now is because Violator, the album that is off, was released in 1990. So RTD's doubling down on just like what was around then. I don't know why, but... Like, all this stuff is coming back. And I listened to Violator and Personal Jesus and the... like, a few nights ago. And I was like, holy shit. Like, it has to be intentional. Doctor Who is compared to Jesus all the time anyway.
Okay.
Is it not striking you in the same way? To me, it seems like...
I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I listen to a lot of breathy stuff.
Yeah? Like that?
No. Most of it is visual in nature. But there's... I mean, are you saying it is literally lifted from the song? It is exactly the breathiness, or is it they have been inspired by the breathiness?
Oh, sure, there? They can claim inspiration, but inspiration here is pretty much tantamount to plagiarism. Like, okay. Why add the breath at all? It doesn't add anything to anyone, as far as I can tell.
No,
I agree, then I heard this. And I was like, oh no, of course, that's where it's from. I don't know why. Unless that this is a sort of oblique pun on personal Jesus or whatever. It just was overwhelmingly shocking to me. It was like, oh my goodness, I can't believe it. It's here as well. That's where it's from.
It is very possible.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to revisit this. I will go back and listen to the end credits.
Yeah.
And see if that is... in brackets, still the case. God, I hope that they've removed it. Because the breathiness is so shit.
Depeche Mode did it way better. Sorry, I didn't mean to completely derail the episode.
No, I like it. I'm always up for a Depeche Mode tangent. Anyway, yeah, fuck it. Right, okay.
Where were we?
We see Ruby Sunday surrounded by Sed's musical note wraparound.
Yeah, we also see Ruby Sunday, the Doctor, and a whole heap of people jiving in a 60s-looking recording studio.
Yes, I have seen a screenshot of the Beatles in this episode.
Yes, and I think that was in the season one teaser at the end of...
Oh, maybe that's what I'm thinking of, yeah.
We also see Ruby and the Doctor walking across Abbey Road.
Yes, we do. But we don't get to see any of the Beatles in these two trailers, do we?
No.
Do you think that an alien race has yesterdayed the Beatles and Doc and or Ruby need to Marty McFly them?
Well, it's funny you should mention Marty McFly. One of the things I thought might happen in this episode was that the world would be under attack from the Nowhere Man.
You know the lyrics
of Nowhere Man?
No, not really.
The Doc could essentially say, oh, you're a real nowhere man, living in your nowhere land, making all your nowhere plans for nobody. And John Lennon's like, oh, these are really good lyrics, I should write these down.
Well, that's similar to what I had in mind, which was like, hey, John, it's Marvin, your cousin, Marvin Lennon. You know that sound you're looking for? Well, listen to this.
Yeah. Isn't there actually like a devil's chord in music, which... was banned for most of the Middle Ages because it sounds...
Oh?
It goes by many names. Diabolus in Musica. It's the devil's interval. It's the flatted fifth. Yeah, it's that's musical theory way over my head, but that's what it is. So I expect that Murray Gold will be using that liberally throughout the episode. Look out for flatted fifths, podcast land.
I can imagine, yeah. How do you feel about Jinx Monsoon? Because I feel like we started talking about this character, but we didn't really pick it up.
Well, yeah, obviously I'm almost desperate for Jinx to be playing the Rani. It would be a big departure for the Rani. I get it. There's nothing musical about the Rani in previous episodes, but she's such an amazing genius, that maybe he now, I don't know, that perhaps their intellectual virtuosity would extend to thinking they had power over music in a way that runs away with them and... You know.
Oh, interesting.
So that's where I'm imagining it goes.
Interesting. See, I'm imagining something that is more like a Renfield character.
Yeah.
You know, and the music itself is the Dracula character in this scenario.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And we haven't seen this episode, obviously. It hasn't been aired yet.
No, we don't even have any Radio Times, basically, leaks to go on.
No.
Give the game away.
Okay, I have a fear. Because I've made a couple of notes of, like, here are some of my fears for this season.
Oh, let me assuage those for you.
And this touches upon one of those bullet points, and that is that, oh no, are we going to get another OTT baddie who will just end up working for the really big bad?
Oh, so the Jinx Monsoon still isn't the one who waits.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Because I guess there is the potential that Jinx Monsoon is playing the same character who picked up the gold tooth at the end of...
Yes.
What's it called? Or... Giggle? The Giggle.
The Giggle, yeah.
Oh, we got that.
I kept thinking the toy maker. The shit toy maker. No, it's either of those. Yeah, very possibly.
Flippers.
Flippers?
Cuddly toy animal.
Meep the Meep.
Meep the Meep. Is, it, the Meep also says, like, oh, wait till I tell the boss about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's possible that that is Jinx's character. We don't know.
Maybe. There are so many, and there's no established hierarchy apart from bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. So, yeah. What can we possibly say? The last episode, to skip to the end, we'll get to 3-7. The last episode is called Empire of Death.
Excellent name.
Yes.
Okay.
That only makes me think of one person. And we've already seen them in the new RTD era.
Is this Moff?
No.
No. Who is it?
Sweet, sweet Davros.
Oh, the character?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so because I heard that there will be no... This is also a note on my screen here. We don't get to see any Cybers or Daleks or anyone sort of established in these trailers. And I've heard that in season one, quote unquote, I really don't like this being season one, by the way. In series 14, RTD is not going to be revisiting any classic foes.
Well, I will counter that by saying that Stephen Moffat, the rumors started to come out that he was back on the staff. And he just flat out outright lied and said, no, what would an old dinosaur like me do? Like, we should be handing on to younger writers. Like, I can't get in on this. Like, I'm in my 60s. Like, no, they should be moving on and blooding new talent. And then it turns out that he says, apologies to everyone I ever so slightly misled.
You lying bastards. Yeah. And we love you.
And then it turns out that RTD is writing fully 6 of these 8 episodes. Another one is by a previous showrunner. And the 8th is shared by 2 women writers, Kate Herron and Bryony Redman. So
I haven't read this. Wait. Moff is writing 6 out of 8
episodes. No, RTD is writing 6. Oh, Moff's writing the 7th, which is actually the 3rd episode of the series. And 2 women are shoehorned into
writing
the remaining single episode. Everything I was saying during Chibnall's run about clearly the trend is in the wrong direction where the showrunner writes more and more and more and they should be a broader writer's team. RTD's been like, actually, I think that trend's very healthy.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, which is another point of trepidation for me, because
the last time that we had a new showrunner or newish showrunner appear and write most of a season didn't go super well, is that why?
No, it's honestly because RTD, he's got great, you know, abilities and talents, and he's also got flaws. And this series is going to be the absolute epitome. It's going to be not RTD writ large, RTD writ cosmic. Like, it's going to be inescapable. Every week, the episode is going to stop, slap us around the face with what we need to be told this week, and then 5 minutes later, it'll start again. That's my worry.
Okay. Is that your biggest worry for this season?
No.
What is your biggest worry for this season?
My biggest worry is that it'll be... Well, no, it's not fair. I was going to say over too quickly, but these guys are putting the work in. It's now an annual thing again. I very much appreciate that. So, okay, we can't have 13 episodes that cost $5 million each. I'm very happy we're getting 8 every year. So I don't want to criticize that. But I guess what I'm saying is I worry that we'll get to the 8th episode and we'll just have been slightly underwhelmed. We were like, oh, I wish it had been better.
That's not the sense I'm getting from these trailers at all. Yeah. I feel like this is actually going to be incredibly bombastic.
And that's how I should be feeling.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You are right here and I am in the wrong.
Well, I don't know that I'm right and you're wrong, but I do think... I don't think this will be underwhelming in any way. Criticizing
it for... The specials were underwhelming. They were spectacular, but we were underwhelmed.
Yeah, that's true. But did you watch... I didn't really watch teaser trailers or anything for those specials. I don't remember what the hype was for them. I remember avoiding the hype as much as I could.
Yeah.
But I don't remember what the hype around them was. Now I'm no longer avoiding it. I'm watching trailers and something will pop up in my feed or whatever. Like, my YouTube homepage is always like, oh, hey, check out my predictions for what else. Oh, fuck off. We're going to do our own predictions. Yeah. But the sense that I get now is like, yeah, no, you've got your shit together.
Okay.
You did those 3 specials, and now in hindsight, I feel like that was incredibly misguided. Like, those three specials were utter bullshit. They're great bullshit, but they're still bullshit. And now what you've got is an actual show. Those three specials were not an actual show.
Well,
this is an actual show.
It was the necessary, perhaps, certainly deemed by RTD to be the necessary transitional period so that we get to here, we've shed the baggage, and now it's absolute liftoff. And that is what the trailers are promising.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so
this here, there, and everywhere we'll be going.
This leads me to another bullet point on my list here, and that is I'm thrilled that in one of the trailers we got to see Rose.
Right.
Donna's daughter, that is.
Along with Kegels. Kegels and Mel B. I think the guy from the Taskmaster special, the most recent one.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. We paused it just right. Like, oh, there you go.
Yeah.
But so we got to see Rose for the Nobody Puts Baby in the Corner lift with
yeah,
Doc.
Sure.
Ish. But that's it. And I was expecting / hoping to see Rose in other time periods. Oh. I was kind of expecting Rose to become a companion, you know. And I wonder if what we're getting... We also got less Unit in these trailers than I was expecting, but that is...
Starts my... with Unit both times.
Yeah, but it's still not like, oh, we don't get soldiers all over the place. We get Doc and Ruby in different time zones and on a space station and whatever it might be. You know, like it seems more like a Doc and Ruby show than a Unit show.
Yeah.
And to be clear, I am fucking thrilled okay. about that. I'm right. super happy about that. I think this means Rose is going to the... potential, I don't know if this is even going to happen, but if there is a Unit spin-off, Rose is going to be in it.
Absolutely, 100%.
Oh, okay,
that is why Donna was so down on Rose becoming a companion, buggering off in the TARDIS with the 14th Doctor, certainly not the 15th Doctor, and yes, absolutely, that's going to be Rose's milieu. She's going to be there with the Vlinks.
Fuck the Vlinks.
Yeah.
Another note of mine. Thank fuck the Vlinks isn't there.
Oh, the Vlinks is 100% coming back. You're just going to have to get
I
on
board.
I hate
that Vlinks thing. Well, here I was thinking I had something revolutionary.
Okay, so go that brings it. Me back to the other episode titles.
Yeah.
The episode titles of 3-7, because we've covered 1, 2, and 8, are
yeah.
Boom, written by Stephen Moffat.
Okay.
73 Yards by RTD.
Okay.
Dot and Bubble, written by RTD.
Okay.
Rome.
Wait, is that one episode or is that two episodes?
That's episode 5.
Okay. Dot and Bubble.
Yep.
Yep.
Rogue, which is written by Kate Herron and Bryony Redman.
Great. What have they written before?
I don't know.
Let's
I'm
find
clicking
out.
On Kate Herron's link.
Do it.
And Sex Education Loki. Oh, right.
Loki?
Okay. Yes.
All right, I'm on board.
Right.
That was great, Doctor Who.
Well, I'm going to stop there because I was going to say, because The Legend of Ruby Sunday is episode 7, and that's a season-ending two-parter, / series-ending two-parter. So my thought is that the women who've written Loki are writing episode 6, Rogue, and that sounds a bit like Rose, and I reckon that's going to be the Unit 1, and maybe Rose is a rogue agent or something. I don't know, but I think that's when it's going to happen.
That's when we're going to get Rose.
Rose, Unit, Vlinks, all of it. Because Loki was sort of set in that kind of institutional, shieldy, unity kind of environment, wasn't it?
A lot of it, yeah.
Yeah.
But it was also... Loki is absolutely brilliant. Have you not watched it?
No.
Loki is absolutely brilliant. It's so good. What Loki did super duper well was sci-fi thrill rides.
Okay.
And jumping around in time.
Ah, so Rose wouldn't be doing that so much.
Rather than just the... Yeah, Loki does also have the bureaucracy of the... I can't remember what they call now, but like the temporal agency or whatever.
Yeah.
But that's just a jumping off point. And then they go to lots of different time zones. And there are paradoxes within paradoxes. It's an incredibly clever show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, good. I'm glad they're on board then.
If they're taking some of those elements and popping them in here... Yeah, that seems like it's going to be more than just an, hey, we're stuck in the office, you know.
Yeah.
Even though, you know what, I would take it. No, I was going to say, I would take a Nakatomi Plaza, but with the Unit HQ. But no, I wouldn't, because we've already had that.
Oh, of course we have, yes. Yeah. Very much so.
Yeah. Okay. Hang on, wait. What else do we have there? Which one is the Bridgerton one?
Oh, good question. Oh, that's, you know what? scratch everything I just said. That's going to be Rogue, isn't it? The Doctor's going to be a rogue.
Yes. There you go. That's exactly what it is.
Or that guy who, that, you know, Bridgerton-esque guy who suddenly pulls a gun on him.
Yes.
He's going to be the rogue.
That's right. Yeah, exactly. I've written, Bridgerton just pulled a laser gun at Doc. He is played by, did I make a note of this? Yeah, Jonathan Goff or Groff. I've written Groff, who was in not the best of the Matrix films, the latest of the Matrix films. He is new Agent Smith.
Also the voice of Kristoff from Frozen. Also, you're burying the lead here. He was also King George in Hamilton.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, I've not seen Hamilton. I've still not seen Hamilton. That is, I don't know why that didn't turn up as number one on my screen. But yeah, no, I still haven't seen Hamilton.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
I'm also avoiding it because I'm desperate to see the live show, and I still haven't seen the live show.
Very worth seeing.
I know! That's what I keep saying!
Well, just go by yourself if you must.
I don't want to go by myself. Kat's already
Abby will come with you.
Kat's already seen it like 700 times, and I've promised to see it with her, but it's not a priority. Anyway, it's going to happen. It will happen. Okay, and then we'll nerd out. Maybe we can double date.
Abby would be 1,000% up for that.
Well, that's happening. Hey, anyway. Podcast land, come on.
Jonathan Groff said, I'll be back, or you will be back. Anyway, he'll be back, so good.
So he is a Regency-era character.
Yes, a rogue, a fop, a blackguard.
Who seems to have maybe some kind of romance with Doc?
Oh, there'll be all sorts of sizzling.
There's certainly sexual tension there.
Yeah. Maybe yeah, that's the thing we're going to be slapped around. The episode is going to stop for 5 minutes, so RTD can slap us around the face with, look, it's fine. He's going to flirt with a boy, even though he's a boy. Okay, I'm going to do this for as long as it takes until you're fine with it, and then we can move on.
So you don't think that something's going to happen between them?
It could go either way. I don't know. It's all guesswork.
I had a thought.
Ah, here we go.
Okay, so which other character have we seen in different eras who is very flirtatious? We've seen two characters like this, actually. One in Doctor Who and one in Torchwood.
Captain Jack.
Captain Jack is one of them. Captain Jack is the guy in Doctor Who, and then Captain Jack had a buddy in Torchwood who was played by Spike from Buffy. And they're just like constant, they're just oozing sexual tension. Like, whenever Captain Jack is in any scene, except the last time when he was a little OTT, but whenever Captain Jack is on screen, you just need a wet wipe.
You know? Yikes.
It's just everything's very sexualized.
Yeah.
And I'm basing this on the fact that this is the only thing that I picked up on across two whole trailers that was in some way sexualized.
Yeah.
But it was a historical character that whips out a laser pistol or some kind of future weapon.
Sure.
And who is mega romance and hard-ons.
Yeah.
And yeah, I started thinking, like, temporal whatever. I can't remember what he was, but whatever he was, you know.
Temporal agent?
That thing.
Okay.
Anyway, that's my theory.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. It's difficult to get much out of some of the other episode titles, like Boom. I mean, well done, Moff.
Could be anything.
Like, yeah. That,
wait, that's Moff's title?
Yes.
Oh, God damn it, Moff.
Are you excited that Moffat is back?
Yikes, caramba. I'm super excited.
Well, yes. I mean, he's had, goodness, 5 or 6 years to come up with just the best script.
He won't have spent 5 or 6 years on it, though. He might have had a few ideas during that time, and he'll have either he wrote them down or they will have been percolating in the back of his head.
And obviously, he's been making Dracula and plays with Mark Gatiss as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's had plenty of other stuff on. But what I'm saying is, of all the ideas that have struck him, this is the best one. And that excites me.
Yeah, well,
I'm saying is there is a selection process. The amount of RTD credits that I am looking at make me think, oh, he's just throwing everything at the screen. Stephen Moffat, like, I have much higher hopes for that episode.
Oh my God, yeah, absolutely. Is there anything in the trailers that you think that you would attribute to Boom?
Not really, no. No, that is very mysterious. All the dead planet stuff would seem to indicate Empire of Death.
Do you think... Yeah, that's true. Do you think Moff is there for a one-off, absolutely super-duper, like almost excruciatingly erotic episode. Erotic is the wrong word. Sorry, I was just talking out of the back of my head. Do you think Moff is there for a one-off... For a one-off adventure? Or do you think he's there for world building? Do you think RTD said, hey, Moff, set the stage and light the fuse and then we'll take it from there and I'm sure you'll be back in series 15?
Are you basing this on the precedent of during RTD's previous run, he wrote Silence in the Library, introduced River Song, and then she just flourished throughout the rest of his era. And so that was world building, and that lasted for years. That lasted until Capaldi times.
You know what?
They still talk about bringing River Song back today.
Yeah, she wouldn't be averse to it.
Yeah.
Like, of course not.
And she doesn't age, which also helps.
You're an amazing character, and it's a great show. You would have a blast, and you get paid for it. But no, you know what? I hadn't even thought about Silence in the Library as a precedent. I was thinking mainly of Moff as being incredibly talented when it comes to world building. And aside from that, being good at crafting a very thrilling story. Even standalones of his are great. They don't have to be set up to, you know, drop little breadcrumbs for future plot lines and future developments. But that makes me think, now that you've mentioned that makes me think RTD has brought him in. RTD may even have had a little, hey, Moff, broski, let's have a couple of drinks. I'll cook you dinner and we will have the most amazing brainstorming session. They're twirling their homemade tagliatelle. And then they come up with all these different...
all these meaty parts.
They don't even need to be full episode plots or even meaty enough bullet points to substantiate episodes in their own right. Or seasons in their own right, or arcs in their own right, but they're enough to just trigger something in RTD where he goes, yeah, that's the direction I want to take the show.
Yeah, he wakes up 4 hours later, it's like,
did he say space babies?
So I think he said something about lightning in a bottle, but there's an actual bottle with lightning in it. Yeah, we're doing that. Like, whatever it is, you know, there's something that sparks something that sparks something else.
It's nice to think of them as X/current showrunners, like a brains trust meeting up and just, as you say, sparking off each other and being unfathomably creative.
Exactly.
And powerful.
Like, exactly. Like literally all of the Doctor Who showrunners, Moff, RTD, are there. Jonathan Nathan Turner. Like, everyone is there.
Yeah.
Okay, I've questions and I have fears. Pick one.
Let's go with questions.
Okay. In one of the trailers, we get to see Ruby Sunday stepping on a butterfly.
And yes. Oh, that's true. Right.
She steps on a butterfly and then we pan back up and she's like a Silurian or something akin to a Silurian.
Yes. The whole course of human evolution has been irrevocably changed, but not so irrevocably.
Do you think...
revocably changed.
...that this is just a fun little side gag, which is like, snap your fingers, it's done? Or do you think that is indicative of an episode that is about different potential timelines?
I don't know, because we also saw them looking at dinosaurs. So yeah.
But they're looking at dinosaurs while one of them is Silurian.
Yeah.
Unless they're looking at a gigantic human. an enormous ape.
Sorry, I've become really fixated on which episode that could be. 73 yards? Maybe that's the length of a dinosaur. Let me concentrate on what you're saying. That would be fun, messing around with timelines, definitely.
Because...
yes. Oh, there's more.
So this is just a very ancillary thought, but if it is about rectifying timelines, which I can see being kind of a fun episode, like, essentially, in my mind, I am not particularly creatively ripping off the butterfly effect.
Yeah.
She steps on a butterfly, she alters the course of history to some weird degree. Now she's a Silurian. How that makes sense, I don't know, but that is the case.
She's not even a Silurian. She's something else entirely, isn't
she's
she?
She's something other than human.
Yeah.
The thing that it sprang to mind, because is this an H.G. Wells story? Is it from The Time Machine? Or whatever it is from The other thing that springs to mind is Steven Spielberg's Amazing Tales, something like that.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, he did a thing where he produced, executive produced a show. It was like a weekly, sci-fi, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And one episode was, hey, temporal tourism. We go back in time. We step on a butterfly. Someone steps off the walkway that they're allowed to go down. The whole tourism thing is like they shoot a T-Rex or some bullshit. Yeah. But anyway, so someone steps off the walkway, steps on a butterfly, gets back on the walkway, goes back to the future where they come from, and the future looks completely different and their life is fucked.
Yeah, I hate to rip off South Park, but to quote South Park, Simpsons did it.
Sure.
There's a Treehouse of Horror where Homer steps on all sorts of shit and he comes back to what looks like the present and they're eating their dinner and then the family's tongues just start zipping out of their mouths like frogs. He's like, close enough.
I've seen that one. Yeah, no, I do remember that. But either way, I wonder if it's going to be... Essentially, here's what I'm thinking. Okay, so if it is a, you stepped on a butterfly, this was just going to be, we haven't even gotten into the adventure yet. Let me show you a dinosaur for a cutscene.
Okay.
But before we've even gotten to the meat of the episode, you've stepped on a butterfly and you fucked up the entire narrative. And now the narrative is about you stepping on a butterfly.
Yeah.
Now the episode becomes about figuring out how do we go back to change things to manipulate history in such a way that it comes out with the same outcome as if we hadn't manipulated history.
Yeah.
And in doing so, we could at the same time fix something else. Mavity.
Oh, bringing it back to Mavity.
We could fix both at the same time.
Maybe. You know what? That reminds me of another thing they said in the trailer where they were saying, like, everything's getting more and more supernatural, which is, messing around at the edge of the universe, Mavity, all the rules being relaxed.
Yeah, yeah.
So where does that fit in with what you just said? I don't know if that gets resolved this series. Do you think it will?
No, I don't think so.
So it wouldn't therefore be fixed in the same episode as the butterfly effect?
I think if we're talking about things are getting more and more supernatural, that's almost indicative of this entire new era.
Yeah.
Like RTD 2 is slightly supernatural, or what's the other word I'm looking for?
There are so many other words.
I don't.
How could I possibly guess?
Say a word.
Plexi.
That's it. So
great.
No, I don't know what I'm thinking of. I think that's more just characteristic of this era of Doctor Who as opposed to descriptive of a particular episode.
Yeah, and all that stuff that's flying around in the Bridgerton orgy, that's just ectoplasm.
Do you have questions? Because I've got questions and I've got fears.
Keep them coming, dude.
All right. Have you heard the following rumor?
Ooh.
I've seen a screenshot of this as well.
Hello.
I should say. So this
is substantiated.
Yeah. That there will
Do I want to know this? Will it spoil anything? Do the listeners want to know this?
Well, for all I know, this is a screenshot from one of the trailers we just watched.
Oh,
and
okay.
I just didn't pick up on it.
All right, hit me.
So I'm sorry if it isn't or whatever, but I did not pick up
it's
on it.
It's my fault for being too inattentive.
The thing I've seen is that there will be a political party called the Albion Party.
Oh, yeah.
Which strikes me as a sort of Nigel Farage-y,
right-wingy
UK-y
thing.
Exactly, yes. Like Britain First.
Exactly. It's pretty much the only name of a party in that whole semantic field that hasn't been taken up yet.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's actually amazing that some right-wing fuckwit hasn't used that name already.
Yeah.
Yeah. But...
Oh, they should definitely do a tie-in website for that. RTD, if you're listening, there's still time. Blimmin' snap up albionparty.co.uk and drop some shit on there and give us some fun to root around in.
Yeah, while you're at it, by the way, you know what? Anyone in podcast land is welcome to do this. I might do this. Buy domains that are synonymous with all the gross right-wing rhetoric.
Yeah.
And just put other stuff there.
Yeah. You know, there are people out there who like are regularly checking whenever like one of these shit parties domain names lapse and then they snap it up instantly and do exactly what you just said, and then the party has to
really?
Be like, oh crap, how much do you want for this? That is a real thing.
That's great. Yeah. I didn't know that was a thing. More power to them. Well done.
Although I suppose after a few versions of that, then anyone with any sense would, on their side, have people making sure that they don't lapse. But fortunately, they don't have any sense. So I look forward to it happening for the rest of time.
So agreed. Same. As long as we have websites, let's do that.
Yeah, and we had to get this in the episode podcast land, because if people don't know that we're still left-wing wokey tards, then, you know, what are we doing?
Based on our iTunes reviews, people still know.
Oh, okay.
But...
that reassures me.
What I was going to say was, so there will be... this party will somehow factor into an episode, or maybe multiple episodes, I don't know.
Okay.
But what I don't know is when. Like, is this something... has someone changed the past and created a right-wing party?
Oh,
and like,
okay.
Is this part of the Beatles episode, for example? Like, do they travel back to see the Beatles, but there's also an Albion Party, super right-wing Nigel Farage bullshit thing happening at the same time because aliens, you know, because sci-fi.
I think you're packing too much into that one episode. I'm going to say the Albion Party is going to appear in 73 Yards, and there's going to be... it's Yards, also. Yards being an imperial measurement because
exactly.
They hate the metric system. And there will be some sort of thing, like, if any immigrants make it within 73 yards of the English shoreline, then it's permissible to just shoot them and just drown them in the sea.
That you know what? That sounds very Black Mirror-y, and, yeah.
I think that...
I'm up for watching that.
I think this is something that's on RTD's mind, and yeah, he did Years and Years, didn't he? Years and Years was very much about the creeping totalitarian potential future.
I still haven't watched that, but yeah, that sounds exactly like... I think that's a very plausible theory, what you've just outlined. I think that is quite possibly exactly what we're going to see.
Yeah. I was about to laugh, and then I realized I...
yeah, it's like, oh, actually, deplorably close to it. Mm. I've got more stuff.
Keep the stuff in.
What do you think is going to happen to Ruby?
Right, I've read something, it might even be on the Wikipedia thing that I keep referring to.
Where
it's like, in Series 15, Millie Gibson, is expected to have a minimized role. So we don't know if Ruby...
Season 15?
Yeah, as in, sorry, Series 15, Season 2.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah, so... we don't know if Millie dies or not, but yeah, someone else is in the mix, and maybe that's all they're going on when they say she's...
they've already cast another companion.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't remember her name now, but...
well, look at it. Episode 7 is called The Legend of Ruby Sunday. What does that make you think of, apart from...
well...
oh, what's her name? What's her bloody name? The Eighth Doctor's companion, Sheridan Smith. Oh, JD is screaming at us!
Wait.
How can we not remember?
Don't worry about it. I'm cutting it. We're going to sound much cleverer.
Okay, great.
Fuck.
Death in Blackpool. What's her name?
I know.
Duh.
Son of a bitch, I'm Googling it.
It's getting late. We need this answer.
Lucy Miller.
Lucy God Miller. Because the first part, I think, of Lucy Miller / To the Death, that was her...
that's right.
Her final two-parter.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what we've got here. The Legend of Ruby Sunday / Empire of Death.
Well, presumably, it's going to tie a neat bow around
her being left at the church.
Exactly. And whoever the person was who left her on the doorstep there.
Yeah, that was in the trailers a fair amount, wasn't it?
Oh, was it?
Yeah, the doctor...
how did I miss that?
The church is in the background. The doctor is looking in the snowy environment at...
oh, and there's like a monk-ish character that reaches out to the camera, I feel.
Is there?
I think so.
Oh, I missed that. Thank goodness we're here for each other.
There's someone wearing a cloak.
We don't know anything.
I think there's someone wearing a cloak, just sort of stretching out towards the camera. But yeah,
the hooded figure who previously we've only seen walking away. Maybe.
Mm. I mean, like Tots Potench.
Okay.
Either way, the Legend of Ruby. Oh. So here's my fear. This is my last remaining bullet point under fears. Ruby as the chosen one. I don't need...
that's why I'm here, to save the world, because I was chosen by the showrunner.
I don't want one of those things.
Yeah.
Just like I didn't want Doc to be the messiah of the Gallifreyans, I don't want anyone to be the chosen one in some way, you know? I want everyone to just be regular people who are just drawn in by circumstance into an incredibly entertaining adventure. Yeah. That's what I want.
We already have a personal Jesus. We don't need 10 more. We just give us a Jane Schmo.
That's right.
A Jane Schmain.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So my fear is that the season will culminate in a, of course she was like that because the stars were aligned in a particular way, and if yes. it weren't for her, then now she is primed to save the universe because only she can do it, and blah, blah, blah.
And the hooded figure who walked away was actually the Rani, and she's been waiting this whole time.
And the Rani is actually Ruby, but older, and everything's like, oh my god, you don't know what's happening. And the neighbor, what's her face? Mrs. Flood?
Mrs. Flood.
Mrs. Flood is Ruby, but older, and everyone is, oh my god, you know Ruby's adoptive mum?
Yes.
She's Ruby, but older, and everything is just like, oh my god, everything is tying. She is the chosen one. I don't want that. I don't want that at all.
She's only Ruby, but older, after Ruby has stepped on a number of butterflies in that previous episode. But yeah, once she steps on enough butterflies, anything is possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think we get to see Flood in the trailers, by the way.
Oh, we do?
I think so.
Okay.
But played by someone else.
Oh, what? Well, then... Well, then Flood is actually George Harrison.
Well, there is a woman who shows up in both of the trailers that we just watched.
Oh, yeah.
And she also has a headband or hairband, sorry.
This isn't the woman who was at the beginning of Wild Blue Yonder, Isaac Newton's kind of... She's an older woman, but she was in Wild Blue Yonder as Isaac Newton's sort of like servant or something.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
And then she appeared... in the giggle. No, she appeared in the church on Ruby Road when they're in the club scene at the beginning to say...
Oh, I don't know who that is.
She's the one who asks the band whether, do you know a particular Christmas song?
Ruby's friends. I remember that line, but I don't remember the character.
Yeah.
Well, so she exists in different... Wait.
The same actress.
Oh,
is
shit.
In those two... Yeah, there
I
is,
missed this.
There
what?
Is theories about her. Like, oh, she must be involved in some way.
Oh, I'm on board. I don't know what's going on, but... wait, no. I'm not sure I am on board.
Hang on. Okay, so, in the interest of increased fluency, here is the Radio Times article. Who is Susan Twist's character in Doctor Who? She says, can you do Gaudete at the beginning of Church on Ruby Road? She is Isaac Newton's assistant. And if you go further down... It says there's a fan theory that she delivers one of the lines in the trailer about there are powers beyond the universe. And and the article continues beyond that to think that perhaps there's all sorts of stuff. Like she might be some sort of time-traveling tech boss or something. Susan Triad or something. Yeah.
The Triad Technology, a company name that was spotted on set when season 14 was filming. What?
Yep.
Oh, Doctor Who fans are the best. That I didn't know about that. I have not read that. I've not seen that. I was thinking of someone who is slightly more senior.
Oh?
Someone who is slightly more senior, who is seen... we see her in one of the trailers just looking up and screaming.
Right.
And also in one of the two trailers, I don't know which one, we get to see Jinx Monsoon's character looking down... and looking very menacing. And I wonder if that's actually the same scene. Like, she's looking up at Jinx Monsoon's character.
Right.
And that woman, anyway, is... a bit of trivia. She's an old costume designer from Doctor Who. She is, as in, the woman who plays that character. I assume it's just a bit part. But that same individual, she is the person who is behind the question marks on the... Yeah, exactly.
Reward her with any number of cameos.
I mean, holy smokes. Yeah, I just gestured that podcast land, but you know what I'm talking about. Amazing, absolutely. Please, like, put her in everything.
Iconic.
Yeah. No, I didn't know about that. I was thinking of a different character who might be Mrs. Flood. She has a headband, and in both trailers, there is a young woman who has a headband. The same character.
Oh, right.
And... it's clearly a deliberate inclusion of this one character. And I wonder if what the headband makes me think of is Han Solo and also Indiana Jones.
Okay.
Or the Harrison Fords. So it makes me think of here you have a character, how do we show that the younger version is the same character? Oh, we give them the same clothes.
Right.
You know.
Slash.
Young Han Solo has the same jacket.
Slash, we have the head hovering at the same height to the right of the current incarnation's head.
Potench. Yeah. Tots potench.
He's teasing us with, am I going to bring David Tennant back for this series? I'm pretty sure that is 10's head hovering there rather than 14's even.
It is. I read where that's from, actually.
Okay.
It's from the, is it called The Other Doctor? The New Doctor?
It's the Next Doctor.
The Next Doctor. That's the one.
Right.
Yeah. With what's his face? The governor from Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's 10. It's a young David Tennant doctor.
Yeah.
As opposed to the now retired, hanging out, having barbecue potlucks.
Yeah. Staying obediently off screen.
Yeah, until there's spin-off potential. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that either. That's literally my last checkbox to check off.
Oh, okay.
Young woman with headband appears in both trailers. Could be the neighbor, Mrs. What's-Her-Face.
So, reincarnated, younger... Unless it appears in the 60s, is that what you're saying?
I don't think reincarnate. I think time traveler.
Okay.
Because at the end, post-credit sequence with Mrs. Flood and the other neighbor, whose name I can't remember now, who absolutely can't act.
Yeah.
The young guy.
Abdul, I think?
I don't remember his name.
Yeah.
But terrible line delivery. I'm sorry if you're listening. Thanks for listening. You're a dreadful actor.
Time has not healed that wound. Like, that still cuts deep into you, doesn't it? Like that hasn't eased off one bit.
Anyway, in that post-credit sequence,
yes.
She says something like, what's the matter? Haven't you ever seen a TARDIS before?
Yeah, which is why I was suggesting she might be reincarnated, because she might be the Rani.
Oh,
which is another possibility.
You think she's the Rani? I thought you thought Jinx Monsoon was the Rani.
I do. Look, there's a lot of women especially who are mysterious, and I want the Rani to come back. There's someone picking up the tooth. There's the one who waits. I think, I just get the feeling it's Rani time. And I don't really care who ends up being the Rani. Honestly, not Ruby. Anyone but Ruby.
I think you're right that it could be Rani time. The Rani and the Master, there's a duality there.
And we've had the Master to death. I'm sick to the gold teeth of the Master.
Well, we're going to get more of the Master. Not in this season, but in the next one.
Oh, really? We're going to get Rani this year, Davros next.
Like,
there's no room for the Master.
You're squeezing Davros in here.
I squeeze Davros in anywhere I can.
I was going to say you and me both, but actually, no. Davros is fine.
He wouldn't just bring him back for comic relief and then not have him in an episode.
No, that's true.
Come on.
That's true.
I think perhaps the Rani is in episode 2, and the Rani's just going to be like a foe of the week. Like, why not? Why not have...
When we've had the Rani on Doctor Who before, she's just been a foe of the week.
Exactly.
Or a foe of the... story.
And the Master has been built up to such exalted heights that unfortunately Chibnall's era and Sacha Dhawan's portrayal just weren't really worthy of, or didn't fully land. I think it would be nice to have a slightly lower stakes, fun chaos Time Lord that doesn't have so much freight and baggage and is just far more chaotic than the Master could even be at this point because of said baggage.
See, I think, I totally agree with you, by the way. But I think there is an easier way to go about rectifying that. I don't think we need to go, you know what, Sacha Dhawan and Chibbers fucked up the Master.
Okay.
Now we either cast a new person as the Master, and goodness knows that's a very fraught decision, isn't it? Or we find a new character. We have 60 plus years of the Master. We could just recast one of those past Masters. Delgado isn't around anymore, but we could have the Delgado Master return.
Oh, like we've had the First Doctor return as David Bradley.
Exactly. Get someone else to play Delgado. Clearly the best Master.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah?
Are
you
why
up for this?
Not?
I think I'm up for this.
I mean, they do it in Big Finish all the time, don't they? Recast essentially actors from decades past.
Yeah, exactly.
Why not?
Stop doing new Jokers in Batman. Just get someone who does the best Joker.
Okay, you've lost me.
Who's the best Joker in your mind? You know what? Like, let's say there are three Jokers that people think are typically the best Joker. Depending on which story you want to do, just get someone who plays that Joker.
Cesar Romero, the guy who painted his moustache white rather than shave it for the role.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, what an absolute ledge. What a total ledge.
Yeah.
This is what I'm saying. Cesar Romero for the master.
Yeah, and Burgess Meredith as the Rani. Why not?
Cesar Romero as Delgado in the next series of Doctor Who.
Yeah, what could go wrong?
Right. Dude, we've done an hour and 17.
We've done plenty.
Yeah. What have we not covered?
All I can think of is that before we came on air, we were talking about how the BBC drop of the trailer on YouTube had got like 300,000 views.
Yeah, yeah. And the Disney drop of the trailer got like I said 4.5 to you, and then we looked at it together and had 4.9 million already.
And then the instant this episode drops, we're going to drive it up by another million or two.
So how do you feel about all this? Because my...
And this ties into the whole series season thing we've been tripping over semi-deliberately throughout the episode.
I'm slightly more optimistic now.
Oh, you're coming to terms with the Disneyfication?
No.
Oh, no. Oh, okay.
I hate the Disneyfication.
Right.
But the feeling I've got right now is that it is only touching upon potential spin-offs. Because the trailers that we've had for series 14 of Doctor Who proper,
yes,
to my mind only has one touch point with UNIT, and I'm assuming that's just there to substantiate the spin-off, and the rest of it is just Doc and Ruby having the time of their lives
and RTD through them making the show he wants to make without the constraints he's always had to butt up against before.
Exactly. I may still be proven wrong. Perhaps Series 14 opens on the Vlinks and I immediately throw myself out a window. I don't know. Like, it's... I don't know. But these trailers show a TV series that is slightly less contaminated by Disney considerations, values, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, yeah. There was one point in a trailer where it's a blasted landscape, post-apocalyptic, whatever, and there's a broken down London bus, and at first I thought, oh well, they're clearly doing that to make it look like quaint jolly old blighty for the international audience. But then I thought, hey, that bus isn't flying, so I'm fine with it.
We talked about this just the other day, didn't we? You've not seen Death and Other Details yet, have you?
No.
Don't watch it. Podcast Land, if you're on the fence about watching Death and Other Details, just don't. Save yourselves hours of your lives. But in that show as well, there are scenes that are set in... You can't see the air quotes I'm drawing.
But they're massive.
London.
Okay.
And that is shown by having it rain against the window. and it's just like, I'm in London. It's raining against my window.
No, it should be, there is a river of shit flowing outside my house.
And my mortgage is too high. But it's,
and actually, I'm only here because I'm squatting.
Incidentally, Podcast Land, I'm moving to London very soon. But
yeah. I would be squatting over the river because clearly everybody else has been. I haven't seen Death and Other Details. You're just desperate for Podcast Land not to see it. It's very bold for them to put "and other details" in the title and then be so undetail-oriented.
I'm massively off my face, Podcast Land. I don't know how we got on this tangent. Yeah, exactly. So if you...
It was a bus. It was a London bus.
Yeah, exactly. That's what precipitated me saying
rain.
London buses
it was what,
are
it was what
like...
precipitated you talking about rain.
Sorry. Oh my God, I'm absolutely off my tits right now. That is what made me think, right, so London buses synonymous with rain against windows.
Right.
That's what made me... Anyway, okay. You mentioned London... You know what? Fuck it, let's close this episode.
You were ending it on a note of hope.
Yeah. I'm very optimistic because I don't think the Disney element is... It doesn't strike me as tangible in these trailers.
Mm-hmm.
What we saw today, that struck me as Doctor Who.
That's interesting because just looking at the trailers and seeing how the show is transformed and the magnificent scale of it,
yeah,
made me think, oh wow, this is Doctor Who, but it's definitely changed Doctor Who.
In what way?
It's just bigger. But it's...
You mean just budget-wise? Production-wise?
Budget-wise is part of it, but it's... And okay, it's going to be quirky. Like, Doctor Who has to be quirky. That is an essential element that RTD is not going to jettison. But I'm thinking of the shot of There's like a dust storm sweeping through a city. I've seen that in a million other things. In a million other trailers, frankly. I don't tend to watch the films.
I mean, the line, the end is coming. Okay. That's taken from everything. That's what's played over that dust clouds enveloping double-deckers and whatever else.
So I guess that my final fear, I wasn't going to end on this note, but I'm an inherently fearful person, is that the lowest common denominator is going to be too low for me. There are going to be bits I like and bits I don't like about this series. I'm under no illusions. I just hope it's not too dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's wait and see.
Yeah, you mentioned the Loki writers being... And Moff is back, so there should be some really twisty, juicy, timey-wimey shenanigans. Really should.
I imagine there will be. Between now and whenever we review episode one of this series...
Yeah, and by the way...
Watch Loki.
If you don't know Podcast Land, episodes 1 and 2 will both be dropping on the 11th of May.
I did not know that myself.
Oh, what? Good.
This is news to me.
I am fulfilling a service. Yes, it will be released at midnight UK time on the 11th, because the US is actually seeing it on their 10th.
What?
Yeah.
But we're not going to watch two episodes back to back on the 11th at midnight.
Oh, I bet some people are.
Yeah, okay. To be fair, we both probably will. But still.
And have you not seen that they're calling this Hurovision Night, which to everyone else's eyes just reads Horovision Night?
I've not seen that.
Oh, it's everywhere. So, yeah, anyway.
Hurovision?
Yeah, it's weird.
That's really poorly... No.
So, yes, it's actually going to drop over 7 weeks, the series, rather than 8.
I can live with that.
Yeah, when those episodes drop, Podcast Land, we will be hot on the heels of at least one of them.
Yeah. I'm going to do my very best to get broadband up and running in London ASAP. So if you're up for a remote recording...
Hang on a minute.
Dude, bro.
Have we not mentioned to Podcast Land that you are finally moving to London?
I think I mentioned that a moment ago, unless I cut it.
I cut it from my brain because I just don't want it to happen, but you know.
Yeah, no, I'm moving to London, Podcast Land. If you're based in London, hi. We are recording this episode next to a bunch of boxes because I am moving to London.
Yeah. At which point, I don't know if I want to continue in a way because it's too far for me to go to do it physically.
I know, but as I've been saying, we have been recording with people who live in Berlin, so why not record between Oxford and London?
Yeah. And we had this whole conversation and I was like, pandemic vibes and tech issues and I'll probably end up on board. So we'll see.
Yeah. Well, don't worry about it, Podcast.
At least need to stick around for the Bridgerton episode because I want that pound.
Yeah, that's right. That is right.
Okay, that's your lot, Podcast Land.
That's what you get.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for listening. Thanks for not giving up on us. Drew.
Yes.
Can people interact with you in some way twixt episodes of Who Back When?
Oh, yeah. If you feel a craving for me in the betwixt, then you can email whobackwhen@gmail.com or send a tweet to @whobackwhen.
That's right. Okay, so full disclosure, Podcast Land, I check whobackwhen@gmail.com on a relatively regular basis. The Twitter feed, I check rarely. But when I do, I respond to everything and I forward everything. So if you have a message to Drew or Marie or Jim, absolutely use that forum. You can get in touch with me as well. I'm available at Ponken, Ponken. Podcast Land, you have been an absolutely lovely audience. Thank you so much for listening. Until the next time, you know what? Rock on. Be right next to each other and ciao.
Bye-bye.
Kablamo! Did you enjoy the show? Then please do what the cosmos compels you to and spread the gospel of Who Back When. Tell your friends.
But I've got no friends.
No problemo. Tell some strangers.
Hey! Like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/whobackwhen. All in one word.
Are you into Twitter? Awesome. High five us online and we'll high five you right back. You guessed it. We're @whobackwhen. All in one word.
Check us out on Instagram for behind the scenes photos and other Whovian goodness. Watch our videos or even listen to our podcast on YouTube. That's whobackwhen.com/YouTube.
Vote us up on Reddit, listen to us on Stitcher, and head on over to our website, whobackwhen.com, where you can submit a review of your own, browse the article archives, and peruse our visual index of aliens, monsters, monsters, and more, which increases in kablamos with every episode.
And lastly, give us a rating and review on iTunes. It helps our show get noticed and earns you lots of karma points.
That's it. Rock on and be rad and excellent to each other.
Catch your earballs in our next Who review or bonus episode.
Until then,
cha-chow!
Who back when?